On a Collision Course by Little M Star, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Jim glanced at the digital clock on the flying car's dashboard, the red numbers glowing in the darkness of the night. There were still 3 long hours of travel ahead to their destination, a Lincoln. He sighed, feeling the weight of exhaustion on his shoulders as he glanced at his travel companion, who was focused on the scenery outside the window. "Spock," Jim said, his voice weary, "I think I'm getting too tired to keep driving." Spock turned to look at him, his dark, piercing eyes analyzing the situation. "It would be prudent for us to consider a rest stop." Jim nodded, relieved. "Yes, I think that would be a good idea. We can reach a Lincoln by morning." Agreeing with the decision, they veered off the main route and soon spotted the lights of a roadside hotel. They parked the flying car and entered the lobby, where they were greeted by a sleepy attendant behind the counter. "Good evening," Jim greeted, rubbing his eyes to ward off sleep. "We would like to make a reservation for 2 rooms, please." The attendant glanced at the computer for a moment before returning her attention to them. "I'm sorry, sir, but we're fully booked tonight. We only have 1 suite available, which is quite spacious." Jim felt a pang of frustration. He'd really hoped for 2 separate rooms. "Well, I guess we don't have a choice then. We'll take the suite." Spock nodded, showing his silent approval. Jim picked up the room key and the 2 of them rode the elevator up to the designated floor. Upon opening the door to the room, they were met with a surprising sight. The suite was indeed spacious, but there was only 1 large bed in the center of the room. Jim looked at Spock, feeling a wave of nervousness churn in his stomach. "Well, this is unexpected," he muttered. Spock remained silent for a moment, processing the situation. "It seems we will need to resolve this impasse," he commented finally. Jim felt a mix of frustration and anxiety rising within him. "Honestly, I'm not quite sure how we're going to do that." Spock nodded, understanding his captain's concern. "Indeed." Jim began to feel restless, his irritation growing. "I should have insisted on 2 rooms. This is a terrible idea." Spock maintained his composure. "We must seek a solution that is mutually acceptable. Furthermore, as an observation, there was no availability for 2 separate rooms, Jim." Jim took a deep breath, trying to control his emotions. "Well, the bed is big enough for both of us. Maybe we can try to share the space." Spock pondered the suggestion for a moment before agreeing. "It is only a temporary situation. We should not interpret it as a problem." With a resigned sigh, Jim relented. "As embarrassing as this may be, perhaps it's the only option we have for now." Spock sat on the edge of the bed, gazing out at the city lights from the 5th floor. The soft hum of cars below echoed in the night, while the city's chilly breeze caressed his face. He stood up and walked to the large window, losing himself in the urban landscape. The moon shone in the sky, casting its silver light over the city, highlighting every detail. Skyscrapers rose imposingly, their lights flickering like distant stars. Below, the streets were bustling with life, with hurried people coming and going. As he contemplated the city, Spock felt a shiver run down his spine. He could almost feel the pulsating energy of the place, as if he were connected to something greater than himself. Suddenly, he heard the sound of the bathroom door opening and turned to see Jim emerging, wrapped only in a towel. His toned body still damp from the water droplets, his blue eyes shining under the moonlight. Spock caught his breath for a moment, unable to look away. "Oh, sorry," Jim said, his voice soft as he rubbed his neck, cheeks flushed. "I forgot to grab some underwear." Spock tried to maintain his composure, his mind spinning as he struggled to find the right words. I can get them for you if you want." Jim smiled gently, shaking his head. Don't worry, Spock, I can manage on my own. He headed to the suitcase on the bed, and Spock tried to look away, his heart pounding uncontrollably in his chest. He felt vulnerable, exposed, in the radiant beauty of Jim. I'll take my shower now, Spock murmured, practically rushing to the bathroom before he could say anything else. Jim watched him with a puzzled expression, a hint of amusement in his eyes, as Spock disappeared into the bathroom. With a soft laugh, Jim found his pants and began to dress, while he listened to the sound of the shower being turned on and a deep sigh echoing through the room. As the hours slowly passed, Jim found himself unable to find sleep. His thoughts swirled in his mind as he stared at the ceiling of the room, illuminated only by the gentle light filtering through the window. The distant sounds of the city outside seemed amplified in the room's silence, echoing around him and exacerbating his anxiety. Beside him, Spock appeared to be deeply asleep, but Jim knew his friend was awake as well. He turned on his side, observing Spock's broad and defined back, illuminated by the faint light of the lamp in the corner of the room. It was strange to be so close to someone like this, so intimate, and Jim couldn't help but feel a little uncomfortable with the situation. As he struggled to find sleep, Jim found himself thinking about how long it had been since the last time he shared a bed with someone. He vaguely remembered casual encounters in recent months, but nothing as intimate as what he was experiencing with Spock. The idea seemed strange, almost out of place. But at the same time, Jim was drawn to the comforting presence of the Vulcan beside him. As time passed, Jim began to notice the details of Spock's face, his long dark eyelashes gently curved over his closed eyes, his strong jaw relaxed in a serene expression. Jim felt inexplicably drawn to his friend's quiet beauty, a feeling of warmth and contentment spreading through his chest. Suddenly, Jim heard a soft sigh beside him and turned his face to find Spock's dark eyes watching him. There was an unreadable expression on his face, a mixture of curiosity and tenderness. Jim felt captured by Spock's piercing gaze. On a sudden impulse, Jim reached out and gently stroked Spock's cheek, feeling the soft texture of the skin beneath his fingers. Spock seemed surprised by the gesture but didn't pull away, allowing Jim to explore his face delicately. They stayed there for a moment, lost in each other's eyes, sharing a moment of silent intimacy in the middle of the night. There was no need for words. Words seemed unnecessary at that moment when their gazes spoke more than anything they could express aloud. Finally, with a tender smile, Jim withdrew his hands and lay back down, feeling calmer and more serene than he had in a long time. He closed his eyes and allowed himself to be carried away by exhaustion, knowing that moment would stay in his memory forever. Jim slowly woke up, still enveloped in a fog of sleep, his body warming with the presence of another beside him. He stretched lazily, feeling the body pressed against his own, and a soft, comforting scent filled the air around him. He smiled sleepily, burying his face in the hair that was right in front of him, and instinctively kissed the top of his companion's head. "Good morning," Jim murmured, his voice hoarse with sleep. However, when he felt the body beside him tense up like a rock, he suddenly opened his eyes, remembering the situation he was in. A wave of shame and embarrassment washed over him, and he quickly recoiled from the body, sitting up in bed with a start. His eyes met Spock's, who was also sitting on the bed, watching him with a confused and surprised expression. Jim felt like he was about to faint from anguish, his heart pounding uncontrollably in his chest. "Jim, are you okay?" Spock asked, his voice calm but laden with concern. Jim swallowed hard, struggling to find the right words. I'm sorry, Spock, I don't know what I was thinking. I shouldn't have done that. Spock tried to reassure Jim, his hands rising in a comforting gesture. Don't worry, Jim. It's okay. You didn't do anything wrong. But Jim couldn't convince himself of that, his mind spinning with thoughts of embarrassment and regret. He got up from the bed, almost running, stumbling a bit in the process, and apologized once more before hastily retreating into the bathroom. Spock watched in silence as Jim walked away, his heart heavy with the confusion of the situation. He didn't know what to say or do to comfort his captain, only nodded slowly as he watched the bathroom door close behind Jim. Breakfast arrived, shrouded in an aura of discomfort for Jim. With his black sunglasses, he tried to conceal the embarrassment he had felt since the morning incident with Spock. It was as if an invisible barrier had risen between them, making every exchange of glances a trial. As they waited in line for breakfast, Jim found himself lost in his thoughts, barely noticing the food options in front of him. The weight of guilt hung over him, and he struggled to find a way to apologize to Spock, even though he wasn't exactly sure how. When his fingers touched a peanut butter-filled chocolate cake, Jim suddenly found himself forgetting about his allergy, and before he could react, Spock held his hand. The gesture surprised Jim, who turned to his friend with a mixed expression of surprise. "Be careful, Jim. You know you're allergic to peanuts," Spock said, his calm voice contrasting with the urgency in his eyes. Jim nodded, feeling embarrassed for forgetting his own allergy. "Thank you, Spock. I almost forgot." Spock simply nodded in response, satisfied to have helped. He then headed towards a nearby table, and Jim followed, his heart still heavy with the weight of what had happened between them. Jim discreetly observed Spock trying to decipher the emotions crossing his friend's face. He wanted to say so many things, but the words seemed to escape his mind, leaving him with only an awkward silence between them. That's when a friendly woman approached Jim, accompanied by another, and praised Spock's gesture. "Aw, so sweet. Your boyfriend is so thoughtful," the woman said with a warm smile. Jim felt his cheeks warm with the misunderstanding, but as he looked at Spock, he saw a playful gleam in his eyes. "Yeah, he's quite thoughtful, isn't he? Lucky whoever has him as a boyfriend," Jim replied with a mischievous smile, leaving the suggestion hanging in the air. Spock leaned towards Jim, his gaze light. "You're exaggerating, Jim." Jim chuckled softly, feeling relieved by the relaxed response. "Oh, but you're being modest. I'm sure you would make a great boyfriend." Spock just shrugged, turning his attention back to the food on his plate. However, Jim noticed a slight smile on Spock's lips, and that was enough to make him feel a little more hopeful. Jim hoped the rest of the day would be less complicated, but he knew he still had a lot to resolve between him and Spock. In the car, Spock was already inside and had started the vehicle waiting for Jim. Meanwhile, the friend of the girl who had complimented Spock earlier approached Jim. She was a pretty young woman with long brown hair and green eyes, and Spock could observe through the rearview mirror that she seemed flushed as she smiled gently at Jim, starting a conversation. "Hi. Sorry to bother. I just wanted to say that you two make a very cute couple," the young woman said with a mischievous smile. Jim felt flattered by the compliment, but also a little embarrassed by the implication. "Oh, thank you, but actually, we're not..." "Oh, heavens, I see. But who knows, right? You two have good chemistry," the young woman replied with a suggestive smile, making a discreet gesture toward Spock. Spock, who was observing the scene through the rearview mirror, remained silent but felt a pang of discomfort, seeing the interaction between Jim and the young woman. When Jim finally got into the car, Spock noticed his expression but chose not to comment. Instead, he decided to start a light conversation to dissipate the tension. "How was your conversation with the young lady?" he asked, trying to keep the tone casual. Jim sighed, running a hand through his hair. "Ah, it was just a misunderstanding," She thought we were a couple, but I explained that we're not. Spock nodded, understanding the situation. I see. Sometimes people misinterpret things. Jim agreed, giving a slight smile. Yep, it happens. But it's not the first time, nor will it be the last. Spock shook his head to clear his tumultuous thoughts as he drove, while Jim was absorbed in his pad, calling Counselor Jensen. After ending the call, Jim turned to Spock with a smile on his lips. Counselor Jensen is aware of our approach. Terra Nova really resembles Earth, don't you think? Spock nodded, keeping his focus on the road. Indeed, Captain. There is a noticeable resemblance between the two planets. Jim took the opportunity to start a conversation. Have you been to Alinkan, Spock? It's the capital of the colony, isn't it? Yes, I've been to Alinkan a few times during the previous missions with Admiral Pike. It's a fascinating city, with a rich history of colonization, Spock replied. Jim showed interest. Oh, tell me more about the colonization of Terra Nova. There must be many stories, right? Spock explained in detail how the colonists arrived at Terra Nova in search of a new home and built the society that now thrived on the planet. Jim listened attentively, fascinated. It's really cool to think about the journey these people went through to build this place, Jim commented. I can't wait to see Alinkan. Spock nodded. I hope the negotiations with the colony go smoothly. The Federation has an interest in securing the dilithium supply that Terra Nova possesses. Jim agreed, casting a contemplative glance out the window. Yes, it's crucial for the Federation. And Alinkan is known to be a vibrant capital, isn't it? There's even a festival that takes place there, the Festival of Shooting Stars, dedicated to romance and the celebration of love. Jim's face flushed slightly as he mentioned the festival, imagining one day visiting Alinkan with Spock to enjoy the event. Of course, if they were ever together. Spock seemed skeptical. A festival dedicated to romance seems highly illogical. Jim sighed, agreeing somewhat disappointedly. Yes, it's a cultural tradition, but who knows? Maybe even you'll find something of interest. Spock simply nodded, turning his attention back to the road. The conversation continued in a light and relaxed manner as they drew closer and closer to Alinkan. Captain Kirk, my dear, what a pleasure to have you here in Alinkan, said the counselor, enveloping Jim in a warm hug. Spock observed everything with a slight raise of an eyebrow as the counselor laughed and explained that it was the custom of Alinkan to greet visitors in this manner. Jim chuckled. Seems like you take welcome seriously around here, huh? The counselor smiled. We always try to make our visitors comfortable and welcome, but now let's set aside formalities. The president is waiting for you in the chamber. Please follow me. As they walked along the path, Jim got lost in the imposing architecture of the governmental residence, enjoying the sight. His eyes were drawn to the garden where he couldn't contain his curiosity and approached, stopping at the doorway leading to the area. He was amazed to see the garden, watching some species of butterflies typical of Earth. A wondrous smile spread across his face. Suddenly, a sharp and deep voice surprised him, asking if he was enjoying the place. It's absolutely stunning, Jim replied, distracted. Turning around, he found himself facing the president of Alinkan, a very handsome man with an elegant and confident posture. Jim was impressed by his presence. The president approached and greeted Jim with a polite and firm handshake. Jim returned the gesture with an enthusiastic smile. He was a man with slightly bronzed skin, with somewhat long and curly black hair, falling elegantly over his shoulders. His eyes, of a mesmerizing honey brown tone, seemed to reflect the light in a mysterious way. Tall and imposing, he stood slightly taller than Jim, giving him a striking presence. He was dressed in a black suit, meticulously adorned with golden details that shimmered in the ambient light, adding a touch of sophistication to his appearance. "You must be Captain Kirk, correct?" asked the president in a friendly tone. Jim nodded, introducing himself. "Yes, that's me. It's an honor to be here, sir." The president smiled broadly, his eyes roaming over Jim with evident interest as he commented with a touch of amusement about the captain's reputation. Jim, feeling a bit embarrassed, made a joke to ease the tension. "Gosh, I hope it's a good reputation. I wouldn't want to cause any trouble." The president chuckled. "Oh, don't worry, Captain. I'm sure you'll be an excellent representative of the Federation." At that moment, Spock and Jensen approached, observing the dynamics between them with curiosity. Their expressions revealed a subtle interest in the interaction as they exchanged silent looks, seeking to understand the meaning behind the words and gestures. "Oh, great, so you finally met," exclaimed the counselor, amused. Jim laughed, looking at the elegant man in front of him. "Well, I can say we've met, I guess." Spock seemed quite uncomfortable, his expression revealing a mix of concern and caution as he watched the interaction between Jim and the president. During the meeting, the president engaged in lively conversation with Jim about the dilithium exploration agreement. The president's words flowed with enthusiasm, and Jim matched the pace, exchanging ideas and suggestions with vigor. Meanwhile, Spock observed their interaction attentively, remaining silent but ready to contribute when called upon by Jim. The atmosphere in the room was one of concentration and anticipation, with every detail of the agreement being meticulously discussed and analyzed. As Jim and Spock exchanged meaningful glances from time to time, there was a silent communication between them, as if they were sharing thoughts without uttering a word. At the end of the meeting, as Jim and Spock were preparing to leave the chamber, the president interrupted Jim with a gentle touch on his shoulder, momentarily halting his train of thought. "Captain, could I have a moment alone with you?" asked the president, with a gentle smile on his lips. Jim turned towards the president, surprised by the request but willing to hear him out. He glanced briefly at Spock, who observed the scene with a stoic expression. "Of course, Mr. President," replied Jim, trying to conceal the slight surprise in his voice. "I'll meet you outside, Spock." Spock nodded in agreement, his dark eyes silently observing the interaction between Jim and the president with curious interest. When Spock left the room, Jim turned back to the president, now with a curious expression mixed with a slight nervousness. "So, what's the reason for this invitation?" Jim inquired, trying to hide the uncertainty in his voice. The president seemed amused by Jim's question, a mischievous sparkle gleaming in his eyes as he responded. "Well," began the president, his tone casual and relaxed, "I was thinking of inviting you to dinner with me later. What do you think?" Jim was taken aback by the president's direct invitation and found himself momentarily speechless, trying to process the situation. He glanced briefly at the floor, seeking some sort of guidance, but found none in return. "Does this have anything to do with the negotiations?" Jim asked, trying to discern the motivation behind the president's invitation. The president shook his head, a charming smile playing on his lips as he casually leaned against the wall. "No, not really. I'm interested in you. I'd like to get to know you better," admitted the president, his tone confident and straightforward. Jim was speechless in the face of the president's unexpected confession, his mind spinning with the possibilities and implications of this revelation. He felt the heat rise to his cheeks, but forced a smile to hide his surprise. "Ah, I see. You're quite direct, aren't you?" Jim joked, trying to lighten the mood. The president chuckled softly, appreciating Jim's humor but maintaining his firm and determined gaze. "That's how I am, straight to the point," replied the president, his eyes fixed on Jim's. Jim nodded in response to the president's words, feeling somewhat stunned by his bluntness. He needed a moment to consider the invitation, given the importance of the negotiations. I need to think about it. We have another day of negotiations tomorrow," explained Jim, trying to find the right words to express his hesitation. The president approached Jim, gently holding his hands and looking into his eyes with intensity. "Understood. Take all the time you need, but know that I'll be eagerly awaiting your response." Jim nodded silently, watching the president leave the room with a mix of emotions. He took a deep breath, trying to calm the swirling thoughts in his mind, before turning to leave in search of Spock. That night, Jim was in his room, chatting with McCoy over a video call. As McCoy told a hilarious story about Scotty's mishaps as interim captain at the starbase during maintenance, Jim laughed uncontrollably, writhing on the bed with amusement. He could almost visualize the sheer panic in Scott's eyes, which only fueled his laughter even more. After all, he knew his engineer so well that he knew Scott would always find a solution to the problem, not before unleashing a string of curses and admitting how much he hated being wrong. "What did Scotty do?" Jim asked between laughs, barely able to contain himself. "Oh, you won't believe it, Jim. He nearly blew up the starbase trying to fix the main reactor," McCoy recounted, laughing along with Jim. When the conversation shifted to the negotiations in Alinkin, Jim stopped laughing and began to stare at the ceiling, lost in his thoughts. McCoy immediately noticed that something was wrong. "Hey, what's going on? You seem kind of distracted," McCoy asked, with a hint of concern in his voice. Jim hesitated for a moment before responding. "Well, the negotiations are going well, I guess, but things between me and Spock are a bit weird." "How so weird?" McCoy pressed, curious. Jim explained slowly. "Some things happened at the hotel where we stayed. I kind of, well, ended up in Spock's sheets." McCoy let out a teasing laugh. "So you finally caved, huh? Should have made a bet with Uhura. You'd be rich." Jim chuckled but waved his hands. "It's not like that, Bones. We just shared a room." "Oh, is that all? What a letdown," McCoy joked before getting serious. "So what's really bothering you?" Jim fell silent for a moment, then admitted softly, "I wish it was something more, you know?" McCoy frowned at Jim's distress. "How long do you plan on torturing yourself, Jim? Maybe it's time to finally tell him how you really feel, or just find someone else who's more accessible." Jim nodded, letting himself be carried away by his swirling thoughts. The president's invitation hung in his mind, creating a fog of uncertainty. Everything seemed to be happening at such a frenetic pace that his brain could barely keep up. "Well, the Enterprise will pick us up tomorrow night. Maybe things will calm down a bit by then. At least, I hope so," Jim said, with a hint of uncertainty in his voice. "Right. I hope you're right. But if you're not, remember that I'll be here to help you. You know that," McCoy said, crossing his arms with a serious expression. Jim nodded, silently thanking him for the support before ending the call. He stared at the ceiling of his room, lost in his own thoughts about Spock. He wondered if Spock was also awake in the room next door, thinking about him. With that thought in mind, he closed his eyes and finally drifted off to sleep. The next morning, during more exhausting meetings, Spock seemed stiffer than ever. At breakfast, he barely exchanged two words with Jim, leaving him distressed, worried if something had happened to upset him. "Hey, you seem quieter than usual. Is everything okay?" Jim asked, concerned, while taking a bite of his omelet. Spock briefly glanced at Jim and nodded. "I am well, Captain," he replied, his voice sounding colder than usual. When the negotiations finally came to an end, the president closed the folder he was using and shot a meaningful glance at Jim, expressing his satisfaction with the outcome. Jim returned the look, though directed at Spock, who completely ignored him, remaining engrossed in his own pad, apparently unwilling to engage in conversation. "Mr. President, I appreciate your trust in us. It was an honor to participate in these negotiations," Jim said, reaching out for a handshake, while casting a sidelong glance at Spock, who remained impassive. Counselor Jensen excitedly clapped his hands and suggested a celebration, stating that it had been an excellent negotiation for the Federation and Terra Nova. Jim looked at Spock, who seemed even more distant than before, and decided to accept the invitation for both of them. "That sounds like a great idea, Jensen. I think we could all use a bit of celebration after these intense days," agreed the president. Jim hoped that the relaxed atmosphere of the party would help ease the tension he felt coming from Spock. As everyone was leaving the room, leaving only Jim, Spock, and the president alone, the president subtly approached Jim, touching his shoulder with intention. With a gentle smile, he broke the silence. "Captain, have you noticed how beautiful the day is outside? I was thinking of taking a walk in the garden. Care to join me?"
President, I really appreciate the invitation, but I..." Jim began, but was interrupted by Spock before he could continue.
"Excuse me, sir, Captain. We need to discuss the logistics of our departure. The Enterprise will be in orbit in a few hours, and we should prepare." Jim felt a little embarrassed by the interruption. "Of course, Spock, thank you for informing me. We'll meet at the dining hall, all right?" Spock reluctantly agreed. "Yes, Captain, I'll be there." Now alone with Jim, the president crossed his arms and smiled. "He seems like a watchdog. That's not very typical of him, is it?" Jim took a deep breath, running his hand through his hair with some embarrassment. "I'm sorry, really. He usually doesn't act like this. It's not like him." "Oh, don't worry. I know Mr. Spock is a busy man. Maybe we can schedule another time to discuss the matter," suggested the president with a friendly smile. Before Jim could say anything, the president approached him and Jim backed away, leaning against the wall. Extending his arm, the president pinned Jim against the wall and asked, in a warm, deep tone, if he had an answer to his dinner proposal. Jim blushed intensely, looking away, feeling awkward and unsure of what to say. "Well, I..." Jim began, his voice faltering as he desperately searched for a suitable response. Before Jim could muster the courage to respond, Counselor Jensen burst into the room, calling out the president's name.
"Sir," exclaimed Jensen, sounding a bit out of breath, "sorry for the interruption, but the governor of Atukan has just arrived. He's eager to meet with you."
The perfect timing provided Jim with an opportunity to escape.
Sorry, Jim said quickly, seizing the distraction, but I need to go now. Spock is waiting for me. See you later.
With a perplexed look, the president released Jim as he quickly walked away. The president chuckled and scolded Jensen with a glance, while the small man shrunk in apologies. Jim was feeling distressed. Worries and uncertainties suffocated him, making his room an unbearable space. He needed fresh air, space to breathe, so he headed to the garden seeking refuge amidst nature. Sitting on a wooden bench, Jim gazed at the blue sky above, so similar to that of his Earth. It was strange how that scenery, familiar and different at the same time, could calm his restless heart. Suddenly, Spock appeared by his side like a silent shadow, interrupting his thoughts. Jim startled but soon regained his composure. Spock, noticing Jim's sudden reaction, expressed his regret. "I apologize for startling you." Jim sighed in relief and nodded.
"It's okay, Spock. It wasn't your fault. I was distracted."
"May I sit?" Spock asked seriously, his voice low and calm, contrasting with Jim's turbulent mind. Jim nodded, indicating the space beside him on the bench.
"Of course. Make yourself at home."
"What's wrong?" Spock asked with concern. Jim crossed his arms, hugging himself, as if he needed protection from the world. He sighed. "I don't know what to do. I'm going crazy with all of this." Spock tilted his head, waiting for an explanation. Jim looked away, struggling to find the right words.
"I can't stand feeling helpless anymore," Jim continued, his voice wavering.
Spock remained silent, absorbing Jim's words. He glanced away, reflecting on his own internal struggle. With a deep sigh, he finally responded,
"Personally, I am not okay.
with everything that has happened on this trip, Spock confessed, his voice calm but laden with tension. Jim looked at Spock's hand in his lap and felt an almost uncontrollable urge to take it. Spock noticed Jim's gaze and raised an eyebrow. How would you feel about something humans typically refer to as friends with benefits? Jim stared at Spock in disbelief, a laugh escaping involuntarily from his lips. He had to make an effort to control his laughter as Spock watched him with confusion. Wow, are you serious? Jim asked, incredulous. Spock nodded solemnly, his expression unwavering. Jim let out a, "My God," and straightened up on the bench, staring fixedly at Spock. Do you even know what you just said? Jim questioned, bewildered. Spock nodded again, remaining steadfast in his proposal. Jim gently grasped Spock's arm, causing him to look away to where their hands met, warmth radiating between them. Spock then averted his gaze to Jim's lips, swallowing hard as he fought against the waves of emotion that engulfed him. The mere idea of drawing close, of touching Jim's lips with his own, of enveloping him in a warm embrace, was almost irresistible. He longed to feel the tenderness of Jim's body against his own. Jim took a deep breath, his eyes searching Spock's with intensity as he tried to understand the reason behind the unexpected conversation. He felt an urgency to understand, to unravel the thoughts that seemed to clutter Spock's mind. It was vital for him to comprehend the origin of that sudden change, whatever it may be. Spock glanced towards the horizon, his serene expression almost concealing any trace of inner turmoil. In recent days, I have observed your closeness with the president. I should not let this disturb me, especially because I know it is not in my nature to interfere in your personal encounters. However, he took a deep breath, and this time his eyes met Jim's, revealing a vulnerability rarely seen. I cannot help but feel unsettled by the idea of sharing you with someone else. As illogical as it may seem, I fear that this is the truth. Jim's heart sank in his chest in a way he had never experienced before. He could barely believe he was finally hearing those words coming from Spock's lips. A wave of happiness flooded his soul, so overwhelming that it almost made him faint from pure emotion. Yet even in this moment of ecstasy, a doubt persisted, hovering in his mind. Jim couldn't understand why Spock had suggested such a superficial arrangement, instead of simply proposing a deeper relationship between them. He inquired incredulously, "And did you really think that would solve the problem?" Spock remained pensive for a moment before responding, "I am not sure, but it seemed like a logical solution at the time." Because the truth was, he was suffering in silence, fighting against the overwhelming desire to admit that his resistance to loving Jim had reached its limit. Every effort to not succumb to love, to not acknowledge the deep need he felt for him, only served to intensify his longing, corroding him from within with the anguish of not being able to have him by his side. Spock could no longer bear to deny the feelings that his captain stirred in his heart. He no longer wanted to ignore the undeniable truth that consumed him. He was deeply in love with that amazing human, with all his stubbornness, emotion, and irrationality. Jim lowered his head, resting it on Spock's arm. He sighed and finally murmured, "Oh, Spock." Spock tilted his face towards Jim, running his fingers through the silky strands of his hair. Jim met Spock's penetrating gaze and let out the truth he had been holding back. "I don't want a friends with benefits a relationship with you or with anyone else," his voice trembling slightly with the intensity of his emotions. He couldn't even bear the thought of such an arrangement, the idea of diminishing their connection, of reducing their relationship to something so unsatisfactory, was simply intolerable to him. Surprised by the revelation, Spock questioned, "Why not consider it? It seems to be a common practice among humans." Jim took a deep breath, plunging into Spock's sincere gaze before responding. Because I want something deeper, something meaningful between us. I want a real commitment. I want that too, Jim, confessed Spock, with a softness in his voice that Jim was not accustomed to hearing. Immersed in the overwhelming moment, Jim leaned towards Spock, their lips meeting in a deep and passionate kiss. Surprised by Jim's bold initiative, Spock hesitated briefly before surrendering to desire, giving in to the kiss with surprising intensity. When they finally parted, Jim enveloped Spock in a tight embrace, whispering in his ear as he peppered kisses along his neck. You know, I am hopelessly in love with you. Still stunned by the whirlwind of emotions, Spock returned the embrace, confessing with a soft voice, I am in love with you too, Jim. Jim's heart seemed to want to leap out of his chest with happiness. He held Spock's face between his hands and began to pepper kisses all over his face, from the top of his forehead to his chin, causing the Vulcan to close his eyes and sigh with pleasure. This is exactly what I've wanted since the moment we were together in the hotel. Well, actually, even before that. Spock raised a skeptical eyebrow. It would have been more logical to share this information earlier. We could have saved some time. Jim let out a nervous laugh. You're absolutely right, my love. I guess I might have been avoiding seeing the reason. With a gentle gesture, he leaned in, capturing Spock's lips in a delicate, impatient kiss. After the sweet meeting of lips, he pulled back enough to whisper with a mischievous smile on his lips, Well, it seems we have some time to make up for, don't we? Spock arched an eyebrow, but a slight glint of amusement appeared in his eyes. Indeed, we do. Jim chuckled softly before diving into another kiss, this time more passionate and deep. Later that day, Jim was in his room, finishing getting ready for the celebration. When he heard a soft knock on the door, he perked up at the prospect of it being Spock. So he simply muttered, Come in, while adjusting the tie on his suit, a custom-made piece sent by the president. He wondered how the president had access to his measurements, to the point of having the suit made in less than 2 hours. It was simply eerie. When he heard the sound of the door opening and firm steps behind him, he turned around expectantly. I was wondering when you'd show up, Spock. However, it wasn't Spock behind him, but rather the president, staring at him with an amused and surprised look. He was very elegant, in a gray and white suit, as always exuding a charming aura. The president laughed with a friendly lightness, crossing his arms casually. So, am I disappointing you by not being the commander? Jim felt the heat rise in his cheeks as he tried to find the right words. Oh, no, of course not, he replied, giving a somewhat embarrassed smile. It's just that, well, I was expecting someone else. The president nodded understandingly. Don't worry, I get it. But I promise I can be pleasant company, too. He approached, leaning against a nearby wall, and suggested with a friendly tone, I was thinking, how about we skip the celebration for a moment? We could just go to dinner, like I suggested yesterday. Jim looked at him with a mixture of guilt and empathy. He knew all too well what it was like to have feelings for someone and hope they would be reciprocated. He didn't want to hurt the president. He didn't have that intention, but he also couldn't deny reality. I really appreciate the invitation, Mr. President, but I have to be honest, I have feelings for someone else, he confessed, a lump forming in his throat. I know it might be hard to accept, but it wouldn't be fair to you or to myself, he explained, feeling the weight of the words on his chest. The president nodded, a sad smile spreading across his face. Jim, you're an amazing person, and I understand, truly, he responded with a note of resignation in his voice, but I still have my hopes. Jim was silent for a moment, processing the president's words. Then, with a soft sigh, he replied, I'm sorry, really.
I don't want to hurt you." The president put a comforting hand on Jim's shoulder. "Don't worry, Captain. Sometimes the heart wants what it wants."
"Yeah, exactly," Jim agreed, feeling grateful for the understanding.
Then with a playful look, the president asked, "So this person you like, it's Spock, isn't it?" Jim was a little surprised by the direct perception. "How did you know? Was it that obvious?"
The president chuckled lightly.
"Well, it wasn't very difficult. Spock isn't exactly subtle when it comes to showing he's not jealous," he explained, with a mischievous glint in his eyes.
Jim laughed, shaking his head. "That's true, he really isn't," he agreed thoughtfully. "I guess I was a bit slow to realize that."
The president then approached Jim, touching his face tenderly. "If you ever get tired of him, you know where to find me."
Jim sincerely thanked him, but his response was firm. "I'd hardly let Spock slip away."
The president nodded, respecting Jim's decision. He squeezed Jim's shoulder with a comforting gesture, and with one last gentle smile, left the room, leaving the captain alone with his thoughts. Jim turned, pulling the body beside him closer. Waking up in the morning and finding himself in bed with his lover pressed against him, he felt nothing but love, affection, and joy overflowing in his chest as he buried his face in the curve of the Vulcan's neck. He took a deep breath, capturing the subtle scent flowing from the Vulcan, a delicate blend of woody and citrusy notes that enveloped him in a comforting sensation. With a radiant smile, Jim peppered kisses all over Spock's shoulder, feeling his body relax with each touch. Finally, Spock turned towards Jim, his eyes warm and tender, a faint smile on his lips as he intertwined their fingers, delicately bringing them to his lips to kiss them.
"Are you all right?" he asked, his voice soft and gentle.
Jim widened his eyes momentarily, surprised, before letting out a laugh filled with amusement. "Better than ever, now that I'm with you."
Spock raised his free hand to adjust his fringe, and Jim leaned in even closer, feeling the warmth of Spock's breath on his face. He loved that moment. Pressing his nose against Spock's and prolonging the contact, his eyes closed in pure bliss. When Spock greeted him with a good morning, followed by a kiss on his forehead, Jim returned the greeting, squeezing their joined hands together. He leaned in, placing kisses along Spock's jawline. Hearing a deep sigh escape from Spock's lips, he couldn't help but smile, teasing him even more.
"Do you plan to keep testing me?" Spock asked, with a raised eyebrow, but there was a slight sparkle in his eyes.
Jim joked. "Well, it's one of my many specialties, isn't it?"
Spock didn't seem to mind the teasing. He got up, straddling Jim's body, his hands eagerly exploring Jim's bare chest. Jim then sat up, capturing Spock's lips with his own, sliding his hands up to the back of Spock's neck while playing with his smooth black hair.
"You know, we really need to hurry," he said between kisses, trying to maintain a serious expression, though his eyes sparkled with mischief. "Or else we'll end up being late, babe."
Spock simply smiled, gently pushing Jim back onto the bed.
"I believe we can afford a few more minutes," he murmured, his voice low and seductive.
Jim laughed, surrendering to the comforting touch. "You're terrible, you know that," he said, still smiling as he gave in to Spock's deep kiss on his neck.
Spock raised an eyebrow, amused.
"I am aware."
Jim laughed again, tilting his head to give Spock more space to explore. He thought he could live in that moment, in that feeling, until the end of his days, and he wouldn't mind at all. The end.